I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, hey! It may be a new network with a new name, or an old network with a new name, but it's the same hump show. Middle show of the work week, same host, same producer, same social media, which is where we need you to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, which comes up next hour. So you've got a couple of minutes still. Be creative. However, you should recognize this is it until the middle of May. We will not have another Ask Amy Anything. Actually, Jay, you want to know something? When I return to the show, it will be a Tuesday night into a Wednesday morning. So for me, not technically a hump show. However, we will be doing Ask Amy Anything on the first show after I return from Hawaii.
Wow, look at that.
I know. Shay's going to want to ask all of his own questions and not field any of your questions.
Well, that's what I said. I think we might have to do some sort of video or something, or a post-Hawaii.
I was going to say, if you suggest we do one from Hawaii, there might be a revolt.
A little set of time.
I might find myself in Hawaii by myself.
Bob, just take those just an hour.
If you don't mind, that we really match up well because of the time change. It's perfect. I might even call in. Oh, no. I'm just joking, babe. It's not happening. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Yes, Ask Amy Anything for the last time over the next 3 weeks. So get those questions to our show Twitter at Amy After Hours or to our Facebook page, 855-212-4227, if you really want to speak to producer Jay. As you know, maybe because the mock drafts are coming fast and furiously now, as in so many mock drafts per hour that we're inundated, it's because people just can't stand it. The closer the draft gets, the more antsy we get. But the answers to our questions are on the horizon. And from the Believe Network in Los Angeles, we're pleased to welcome Joe DeLeon, returning to the show as an NFL draft analyst and a host. And they will have a live broadcast on the First Team NFL Draft podcast coming up on Thursday. All right, Joe, let's dive right in. What's your number one question about this NFL draft?
I think my number one question right now is what is going to happen at the second overall pick? And I, very important to say here, I don't even know if the Commanders are going to be making the selection. And I'm referring to the fact of what broke on Friday, the drama that has been unfolding with the Commanders and the Jaden Daniels situation where they had a group visit with some of the quarterbacks, and it seems like that visit didn't go over very well, as it was reported by Adam Schefter. I had heard also from somebody close to the situation who confirmed that assumption that things are a bit rocky between the Commanders and Jaden Daniels. So I'm curious on what happens there, because ultimately that is going to be the biggest catalyst for what happens the rest of the draft. If the Commanders decide to say, you know what, despite things not going well, we're still going to take him, that is going to set us up for what the Patriots do at three. Do they stay put? Do they take a quarterback? When do the Vikings trade up? There's just so many things that can happen depending on what the Commanders do in that second spot.
How likely are trades for other teams, say, in the second 10, who would like to get a quarterback and are interested in moving up?
Yeah, I think it's really likely that for a team like the Raiders, Broncos may be a little less aggressive now that they went and got Zach Wilson, which doesn't seem like that will dissuade them from trying to figure out their quarterback situation. But the Raiders, the Vikings, and the Broncos seem to be the most likely to make that move to trade up and go get somebody, because all of their quarterback situations are way more unsettled than some of the teams that are picking inside the top 10. I still think that the most likely and easiest one is going to be the Minnesota Vikings, whether they trade up to 3 with the New England Patriots, or if they move up to 4 with the Arizona Cardinals, or maybe even 5 with the Los Angeles Chargers. They have the most on the table because their picks, having 23 and also 11 in the first round, are far more valuable than what is going to be available next year. There's certainty what those picks are going to be, and this year's draft seemingly is more talented than next year. So they seem to have the most and best chance of moving up. And is it going to be Drake May or J.J. McCarthy is still a big question that we won't have answered till Thursday.
How do you think these top 5 quarterbacks come off the board?
Yeah, I think as of right now, I still, obviously, Caleb Williams going number 1 to the Chicago Bears. And then number 2, despite the drama, I feel like Jaden Daniels could still end up being a Washington Commander. 3, I think if the Patriots stay put, that they're going to end up taking Drake May. And then at number 4, I really think that what will happen is the Minnesota Vikings, as I kind of led in there, would end up moving up into that 4 spot where the Cardinals are and go and take J.J. McCarthy. The 5th for me, though, is wide open, and I would pay the closest attention to what happens at the 12th spot with the Denver Broncos. Bo Nix makes the most sense. I think he'd be the best fit for that scheme. We saw how successful Drew Brees obviously was playing for Sean Payton and how long his career was, and not a direct comparison, but you can see some similarities where both were very consistently accurate in short to intermediate areas, and I think that Bo Nix would be great for the Broncos scheme.
It's a draft that's rich in other positions, like wide receiver. We're excited to spend a few minutes with Joe DeLeon of Believe Network and the First Team NFL Draft Podcast. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So what about wide receivers? I mean, we hear a ton about Marvin Harrison. Where else is there extreme value at that position?
Yeah, there is a ton of depth in this class at receiver, and I think that we're going to see a lot of guys that go on day 2 and day 3 that end up being high-impact starters, guys like Ladd McConkey, Jalen Polk, Xavier Leggett. I think that there's a lot of potential there. But in the first round, we could see 3 go in the first top 10 picks, with Roma Dunze potentially coming off the board to a team like the Bears. Malik Nabers certainly is going to be in play for a number of teams like the Chargers or the Giants. But then there's going to be a little bit of a chasm, I think, in the middle of the first round, because a lot of teams that need offensive linemen are going to be very aggressive in seeking out and fixing up their offensive lines and not wanting to miss out on some of the premier players in this class. We could potentially not see another receiver taken until round pick 20 or so. And we know teams like the Bills and the Chiefs really badly need to figure out their receiver rooms for differing reasons. They seem to be potentially the most aggressive if somebody did move up into the middle teens to take the next best available receiver.
If you are in the Bears war room and you're getting set for this draft, as you mentioned, Caleb Williams, the presumptive number 1, but it's kind of cool to have another pick in that top 10. What do you do with number 9?
Yeah, I've been really deliberating on what makes the most sense here. And I think that Roma Dunze from Washington certainly does come into play, but they did just trade for Keenan Allen. I don't think he's obviously not going to be a long-term solution for them at receiver because he's on the older side in his career. It would make more sense for them to maybe address receiver somewhere on day 2. I would use that pick to take Olu Fashanu from Penn State or Amarius Mims from Georgia. I think that figuring out and solidifying your left tackle position and having a premier tackle is going to be a lot more important for your team's long-term success. And we know, as we saw this year when USC had bad quarterback play, if Caleb Williams isn't properly protected, he's not going to play as good as he potentially could be. So for me, any of the offensive linemen, I'd even throw in Troy Sotanu from Washington as well, who might project more as a guard. Any of those guys, I think, make the most sense for me.
There's a lot of talk after the Zach Wilson trade to the Denver Broncos about the number of quarterbacks that are not only chosen high and are successful, but actually remain with that draft team into a free agent deal, so into their second contract. which do you think is more important? Getting drafted by a team that's a good fit or getting drafted by a team that has a winning culture?
Maybe combining the two. I think the most important is just landing on a team that has a good foundation. And I consider a good foundation team with a good offensive line, team with good receivers, and a team with a competent offensive coordinator, because we see, and you brought up Zach Wilson, his lack of success was because of, you know, multiple coaches and inability and lack of consistency in play calling and the offensive line at receiver. And then we can point to some of these other guys that struggled. Justin Fields, very much the same thing. So I think any of these quarterbacks being selected in this year's draft, we do need to pay the close attention to who is the best situation. And I really do believe that Caleb Williams lands into that best situation because of them having these two top 10 picks, having an improving offensive line, and having a very underrated defensive line, as well as plenty of cap room to play with in the near future. So he seems to be the one who maybe is lucking out the most that isn't getting talked about as much.
So De Leon is with us of the Believe Network, been generating various podcasts and debates. What's one debate that you've enjoyed engaging in as we get closer to the actually finding out the answers?
Yeah, I think the biggest one is the most obvious one that's captivated, I think, a lot of people in the NFL sphere, which is, can J.J. McCarthy work? For me, I lean very aggressively in the middle on that, because I just think that there's so much risk with J.J. McCarthy. I think that there's a potential for him to pan out and for him to work. But for some reason, there's one side that thinks that this is a guy who's going to be a Pro Bowler, and then there's another side that thinks he's going to be a complete and total bust. And I think the way that we saw him play at Michigan, he was perfectly steady and down the middle. He was really, really consistent. He did just enough to boost the team outside of how effective and dominant their run game was. And that's not a bad thing. NFL teams that have consistency at quarterback and steadiness are much better off than somebody or a team that's going to have a lot of ups and downs. I mean, if he ends up being Ryan Tannehill and just really important part of the play action game and the short passing game and is an impactful runner, that would be a slam dunk for any team who needs him. But I think that that's been the most entertaining debate, because seemingly nobody is being realistic, nor are they well thought out in breaking that down.
Aggressively in the middle. I'm not sure I've ever heard that before.
I made that up.
No, I like it. It fits, though, because as you point out, there really is no hard and fast answer. And that's actually the issue, is that we don't know what he will do at the NFL level.
Yeah, and that's a really great way of putting it, because he had so few throws under his belt, despite being a 2.5-year starter, however you want to characterize that first season. He just wasn't really called upon to be a quarterback in the same ways as all of these other guys. And the uncertainty for me lies in the fact that they didn't have any games where maybe the run game wasn't working, the offensive line was playing bad, the defense was playing poorly, and he needed to be called upon to put the team on his back and to go make those plays to have a game-winning drive. He just was never really that type of a guy because of the fact that he was boosted by having such a great defense and such a great run game. So we don't know if that's going to translate, and there's so much uncertainty with him, and he's such an enigma as a prospect.
So how much value, if any, do you place on coming from a winning culture, like, say, a Michigan or an Alabama or a team that consistently generates guys who get to the next level?
I think it's really overhyped, in my opinion, and I think it's something that a lot of NFL teams and scouts get overly caught up in, and I think it's a driving factor in J.J. McCarthy's draft stock, because,
yes,
you know, if I look at the track record of Alabama quarterbacks, there's so much inconsistency. The track record of Ohio State quarterbacks, there's so much inconsistency. But let's look at two of the best quarterbacks in the NFL right now, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. One came from Wyoming that was terrible when he was there, and Patrick Mahomes came from Texas Tech when they didn't have a defense and he had to do everything, and his development was stunted because of the scheme that he was playing in. So oftentimes, and this leads to a lot of failures in scouting, there's an overemphasis on where they're coming from.
We really don't talk as much about defense, which is kind of sad because the quarterbacks are only a handful of picks, and yet we focus so much on that. But what's one position where you feel like teams that maybe don't have those high-profile first-round draft picks can still find a bunch of value?
one position that has a lot of value in the first round is the defensive back corner position in this class. I think that it hasn't really gotten a lot of love or buzz throughout this process because, you know, as you're talking about here, we're so focused on the offensive side of the football at all times. But guys like Quinion Mitchell from Toledo, I think it could maybe find his way going in the top 10, top 15 picks. I really like Nate Wiggins from Clemson, and I think he'll be a top 20 pick. And then the two Alabama guys with Terrion Arnold and Kool-Aid McKinstry. Cooper DeJean is a defensive weapon from Iowa who can either play safety or corner depending on the team that takes him. And then when we get to the second round, there's just so many amazing other options that could turn out to be impactful starters for teams that in other drafts might go in the first round. And I think of guys like DJ James from Auburn or Galen Carson from Wake Forest. I just think there's so much value in this defensive back class that we could be surprised by how we're perceiving and looking at this class in a few years on how many defensive starters come from the corner group.
Nice. How often do you take time to look back at a draft, say 3 years later, to kind of figure out, hey, this is where we nailed it, and this is where people were woefully off base?
See, I wish I did a better job of doing that because I think that it's really good to have that, you know, that look back and retrospect to determine what was successful and what wasn't. But usually in the period of time in June and July, it's the perfect time of boredom where you kind of click through and what happened in this first round? And then you look back and like, well, that guy was a bust, that guy was a bust, and that kind of thing. But certainly would love to do more of a deep dive because, you know, to that point, it's a great way to check how well you did.
Who's one prospect who has impressed you in the way that he's handled this run-up, these few months to the draft?
Quinion Mitchell, who I just mentioned from Toledo, I think has hit a home run throughout this whole process. He was getting a little buzz early on. You know, he looked great playing at a MAC school, but I don't think anyone knew who he was because he was playing at Toledo. And then he shows up at the Senior Bowl, and he by far was the best guy in Mobile, had the most consistent week, barely gave up any big receptions or plays during the one-on-one drills, during the team periods. He just dominated. And then at the NFL Combine, he had some of the best testing numbers. He was the most fluid and easy-moving corner participating during the defensive back drills. I think that Quinion Mitchell has just been phenomenal and so fun to watch throughout this because in an era where NIL dominates college football and the transfer portal dominates, this guy stuck it out, stayed at Toledo, and he is going to likely be a first-round pick.
I do love those stories. They become a little rarer every year that goes by. But another debate that's going on is about the value of the combine, because now you've got athletes like we're seeing in college sports are taking charge, and they are maybe not using the combine the way that it was designed. So where do you fall on this debate over the value of the combine in 2024?
Yeah, I think it still has tremendous value for the evaluation process. And I think that there's going to be exceptions every year where the occasional Malik Nabers, Jaden Daniels, Marvin Harrison Jr., Caleb Williams find a new thing that they can opt out of. Maybe we'll see guys in the future that continue to do that more and more. But I think that it is very important for the middle of the pack guys, the guys that are going to go on day two and day three. The most necessary thing for me outside of the testing is, and it's something that we don't even have access to, is the chance to get to meet with teams. And you hear and you talk to scouts and you understand that there is a ton of value in the way that they get to interact with these guys and learn more about them. And I think that there is that aspect that the media and the fan bases aren't exposed to, and why I think that there is this assumption that the combine isn't as important as it used to be because we don't see what those most important aspects are happening. And the medical parts, too, are certainly very, very important. But the combine, always an exciting opportunity and an event within this draft process that I think still is going to be an important piece.
All right, so before I let you go, Joe, I've been looking at your Twitter feed, and I noticed that you plan to spend your off hours, which I'm sure aren't very many, watching Draft Day. What's one thing, one lesson you've learned from the movie Draft Day?
Never assume anything on draft day. And I'm not saying that there's going to be a, you know, a Vontae Mack situation with the Chicago Bears at number one overall. But, you know, we make these assumptions that Jaden Daniels is going to go two overall or this team's going to do that. Anything can happen, and it always ends up happening. It always ends up going opposite of the way that we expect. And, yes, I will absolutely, especially on Thursday, I'm just going to watch that on loop until until the event kicks off.
I heard a mock draft that had the Bears trading for Trevor Lawrence and giving that number one pick to the Jaguars. And I thought, okay, now we've jumped the shark. Now this has gotten ridiculous.
I saw that and I immediately clicked away. I was like, there's no way that this is being suggested. So it's good to know that we're on the same page.
It's time. It's time for the draft. Can we get to the real thing, please? All right. You can find Joe on Twitter at Joe DeLeon, DeLeone. And he's got the First Team NFL Draft podcast. Lots of extra traffic. A broadcast coming up on Thursday for the first round of the draft. Glad to talk to you, Joe, and get some insight. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes on what is a crazy week for you.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
It's almost here. This time, 48 hours from now, we will be going over the first round of the NFL draft, which I'll just warn you ahead of time, is likely to take until midnight Eastern, midnight Detroit time. I remember, I think this was 2019, so the year before the pandemic, when the draft was done from Roger Goodell's basement and virtually all over the country. It was pretty cool, actually, because we knew the numbers didn't come in until after the fact, but we knew there were millions and millions of people tuned in because there wasn't a whole lot else that was going on that was live in the sports world. If you remember, this was about a month after everything shut down. So people were starving for some type of connection, but also starving for something new in the sports world. We'd had the Last Dance that was unveiled on those five consecutive Sundays, but we didn't have anything new in the sports world. And so it was great to have the draft and Roger Goodell from his basement and the fact that he got less and less formal as the night went on.
Might have been drunk.
I just can't see it. But most of the producers I've worked with believe that he was absolutely drunk. And the candy was disappearing from his candy jar. And he was as awkward as ever, and it was great. But also around the country, you had all the virtual connections with the draft, the draftees, the prospects, their families, some that were hiding in the back, but you could hear them when the draft picks were made. And then also the coaches and the general managers who weren't in war rooms, but were in their own basements or their own dining rooms or their own. I mean, Cliff Kingsbury, he was posted up on some swaggy apartment in the living room with some crazy pool out the sliding glass door. He did not at all look like he was in work mode, but it was kind of fun to get that peek behind the curtain of these people that we know well and we were getting to know. Anyway, we found out later 57 million people watched that draft. 57 million. I don't know if it'll be as high for Thursday's round one, but I do know that it's the centerpiece when it comes to this April for the NFL, and they do it up now with pomp and circumstance. So we'll have as much analysis as we can cram in coming up on Thursday night. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything to our show Twitter at Amy After Hours, and then also on our Facebook page. We're glad to have you with us on this Hump Show After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. Here on After Hours, we like you as much as you like us.
Let's get started. Boom, boom, boom.
Hey, Amy, your show should be called Follow the Law, because everything you have said tonight, couldn't have said it better.
Hi, Amy, how are you? Big fan.
Good morning, Amy. My favorite talk show host, overwhelmingly.
Good morning, Amy. Love your show.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, Law, what is up?
Nothing.
I love your show.
Thank you.
By the way, you're welcome.
Amy, thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate the work you do.
Hello, Amy. I just love your show. I've been listening for about 3 months, my first time calling in.
Awesome.
I love your enthusiasm and your whole staff. Y'all keep me laughing and smiling. I don't get sleepy.
That is the point.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. 24-karat magic in the air.
What?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Wait until you hear Jerry Jones explaining the Cowboys draft pick. The Cowboys are drafting 24th in the first round, and I'm not exactly sure what he's talking about, but he tries to explain, I think, why it's a positive that they're drafting where they are, but it comes out very convoluted. And give me some oxygen. Thankfully, he doesn't choke on his words, but I don't know. It seems like either he wasn't focused. You ever talk to someone who is clearly thinking about or focusing on something else? Maybe they're playing a video game, they're watching TV, they're driving, they miss their exit, whatever. And they say something that makes zero sense because their brain's doing one thing and they're trying to talk to you at the same time. You ever had that happen?
Oh, yeah.
And you get distracted and you lose your focus and then you kind of circle back and say weird stuff. Yeah, it comes from Jerry Jones a lot. I'm going to try to give him the benefit of the doubt, but this one, it takes the cake. Also, Mike Tomlin, he is the first in a long time, though I think it's pretty widely accepted, but the first in a long time I've heard among NFL circles who will openly admit that he's screwing with people during the draft process. We know it happens, which is why we caution you not to believe even half of what you hear and read this time of the year, because teams and agents are specifically running interference. They don't want you to know what they're doing. And agents, they have a different motivation. They're trying to drum up interest in a client, so they will throw stuff out there that isn't true if it puts their client's name in the news or it makes it seem like their client is in high demand or something along those lines. But teams will throw out kind of these smoke screens by deflecting your attention to this prospect or this possibility in the draft just so you don't know what they're doing over here.
It is our job.
So in other words, they're screwing with us just because they're trying to keep secrets. Take it from Mike Tomlin. So you'll hear from Jerry Jones and Mike Tomlin after the update here at the bottom of the hour. But Marco Belletti is in studio, and of course, producer Jay is with us. In my class at the end, so it's a 3-hour and 15-minute class. As you can imagine, there are some yawns that take place. A night class on a Monday, and it's happening over the course of 3 hours and 15 minutes. Now, we do take a 10-minute break in the middle because I need to get some water and a snack, and they just need a break, right? Not like a Cliff Kingsbury break where he would give his guys time for social media. It's not that. But it is a break for their brains. Although, one student insists on getting up in the middle of class and leaving for 15 minutes to get food. I don't know why he can't wait till the break, but he can't. Same student who I told you blew me off over the office hours and trying to make up the first class that he missed. Get this. He asked me again on Monday. Well, can we get together? So sorry, I had something come up. It was really that innocuous. He didn't make any real explanation, but he did ask me again if he could make up the first class, and I emailed back so it was on record and just said, I'm sorry, we're past that point now. We're going to have to move on to the second half of the course. Anyway.
Well, didn't he MIA for like 4 or 5 days?
Yeah, he didn't give me any type of explanation for why he blew me off until Monday, right before class. Anyway, I was not surprised that he walked in 20 minutes late on Monday. So after missing the first class and then missing the makeup opportunity twice, then he shows up 20 minutes late for the third class. Here's the thing. You have to try really hard not to get an A in this class. All you have to do is show up and participate. I'm not grading the quality of your work. I'm grading that you did it and that you tried and that you went through the assignments and presented them in class. That literally is the mass majority of your grade. And
that sounds like my kind of class.
Somehow. Well, no, I mean, you have to do the work and you have to show up. But I mean, it's a one credit class. I'm not trying to reset the educational spectrum. And it's a hands-on class, so they're trying to learn how to do a radio show, so the assignments are really how they practice the concepts that I'm teaching. So I break it up, half teaching, half presenting assignments, and they're supposed to communicate with one another and all that jazz. Anyway, the student has continually showed up late or not showed up at all, and then he gets up in the middle of class and just goes away for 15 minutes and gets dinner, I suppose. I'm not really sure. I've just started ignoring the comings and goings. Whatever. If you're not around, I guess you're not around. But yeah, you have to try really hard not to get an A. Last year gave all A's. A couple A minuses for, you know, missing stuff, but for the most part, A's. Anyway, that's not what I want you to hear about. So on Monday, I'm teaching this, I'm kind of going over, I guess, some of the unique creative elements that you can use for their upcoming final projects, but also some of the unique elements we use on this show. And I'm talking about the use of audio and how valuable it is, because if I tell you how Michael Porter feels about his brothers, one of them being banned from the NBA and one of them being in jail now, and I use my voice to say it, it's far less powerful and impactful than if Michael Porter himself tells you how he feels, right? So that was one example. But I was also trying to think of examples that they might relate to. I had no idea that when I brought up this recent example that it would create a, like, just an eruption of conversation. I bring up the Caitlin Clark-Greg Doyle exchange in the recent press conference when she was introduced by the Indiana Fever. And I know Greg, I'm not here to pile on Greg. He's apologized for how awkward it was. I don't think he intended it. He's just been in Indianapolis covering that market for a long time and just didn't really think about it before he said it. Maybe that was it. Maybe he just got kind of caught and said something weird. But anyway, to me, it was a moment that's now forgotten. He didn't mean it to be cringy. But the second I said it, all 11 students start talking at once. They were all very, very opinionated about the fact that Caitlin Clark, this, you know, early 20-something, was having to go through this whole symbol exchange, right? Making the heart with your fingers. And gesture, she does that. Yeah, she does that with her family. And he did that to her in the press conference and then said, if you keep doing that to me, we'll get along just fine. And how uncomfortable it was. Every single one of them, and I've got one female and 10 males, all start talking at the same time, loudly, like just yelling their opinions out. In 3 weeks in class, and we're talking now 9+ hours, not one time has that happened over anything else. Except for this. But I was really surprised that, A, all of them knew about that moment because it's a WNBA player getting introduced, right? Like, that shows you the power of Caitlin Clark and the draw. But also that so many people were, young people, were just really put off by that exchange.
Yeah, no, I to be fair, when you mentioned this is exactly where my mind went to, but I didn't want to bring up this can of worms if it wasn't going to be the right answer, because I didn't want to go down this road if that's not where we were headed. But it does make sense, because it did bring out a lot of emotion from a lot of people, and I think it hit, it's hard for me to know exactly, but I think it hit the younger generation a little bit more because I think it kind of feels like the idea of, when are we going to get past this? When are we going to stop with this nonsense? When are we going to get to the point where questions don't come out and sound, I mean, they were. I mean, cringy is at best. It wasn't phrased properly at all. And if you have a tendency to...
Meaning you thought that he was, what, being sexist?
I don't think he meant to do anything. I don't. I don't know Greg Doyle, but I don't think he meant it with any malice. But if you have a tendency to possibly stick your foot in your mouth, maybe you should script it out because you knew you were going. Maybe you wanted to figure out how you wanted to phrase this. So maybe even if you didn't write it down, maybe you rolled it around in your brain a couple of times before the words come out. But he was too comfortable and he got lost in his whatever thoughts he had and whatever sentence he was trying to put together. And you could almost hear at the end of it where he just wanted the sentence to end because I think he knew it came out poorly. But I think it's to the point where everybody looks at it and goes, you have the chance to really think about this. And that was the question that you came up with. That's a bad job when this is your job. You need to do a much better job. And it shouldn't be where we all go, oh, you didn't mean it. You had a chance to put this.
None of them had that opinion at all because they don't know this guy. They don't, and probably most of them didn't watch the majority of their press conference. A lot of them just saw that exchange on social media now. And I mean, they all had a strong opinion. And I had to kind of be like, whoa, 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 let's go one at a time. But even the guys, and again, it's mostly guys, even the guys were just so taken aback that.
Yeah.
Any adult male would talk to her like that or have that weird exchange with her, especially one that's probably 30 years older than she is, and if not older.
That's definitely part of it. But I think it's also just, it's an athlete. You ask questions. Do you go down this road? Like, why would you decide to go down this road? Again, I don't know Greg Doyle. So I'm going to go by what I felt when I heard it. I thought it was an awkward, I don't want to call the guy awkward, but I thought it was an awkward thought that he didn't know where he was going, but I think he meant it in the right way. If you told me he didn't mean it in the right way, I can't really argue with you because it came out poorly.
It did.
I think it's just the idea that, like, at some point when we talk to athletes, do you talk to the female athlete different than the male athlete?
He did.
If you stop yourself for a second and you go, why? Why do you talk to the female athlete differently than the male athlete? And that should be your answer to everything.
And I'm not sure they followed it that far, but I agree with you. There's not a snowball's chance in hell that he would have said that to a guy, a male athlete.
Pretty sure he didn't do that to Halliburton on his introductory press conference after he got drafted.
Exactly. And so we definitely, and one of the reasons why this conversation got started or why I went this direction is because the female reporter, she wants to be a reporter. She had covered the Pittsburgh pod, the first and second rounds of the NCAA tournament, and she was talking about a strange exchange that she had with some other male reporters, media members, and she just asked me, is it going to be this way my entire career? And so I was saying to her, well, it's not quite as bad as it used to be, but yeah, it's still, for whatever reason, there's still this stigmatism about women in sports media. And so then I mentioned, but it also goes the other way, right? It can be the opposite, and brought this up, and yeah, the whole clash just it was like noise.
I'm curious if they got into what they thought like repercussions should be.
No, actually, one of them said, "Did he get fired?" And yeah. I said, "I don't believe so. I never heard anything like that." I did mention he apologized profusely the next day when I guess it finally dawned on him how embarrassing it was.
I didn't read it, but I'm pretty sure he wrote a column about it.
He did. Yeah, he did. Very extensive, and just said he was heartbroken and he was embarrassed and all that stuff. That he realized he was part of the problem, and it never dawned on him. But yeah, I mean, Marco hit it on the head. You can't talk what you can, but you shouldn't be talking to a female professional athlete any differently than you're talking to a male. You should treat them exactly the same because they deserve that. They've earned that respect, but that's not what happened. Yeah. So
I was going to say it's people. Cause that's the thing. That's if you differentiate between athletes, then you differentiate between just male and female and just people.
It's just a microcosm of society.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. And that's why as much as I believe your intent was malice. No. Does that excuse it? No.
Yeah, and they weren't giving him any leeway. No way. They hammered him for that, and that he had no excuse, yada, yada, yada. So this is Caitlin Clark's peers, so same age as she is. Some of them a little bit younger. All right, on Twitter, After Hours. Nope, Amy After Hours. At Amy After Hours for our show account, and then our Facebook page. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything under an hour from now. Awkward Jerry.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jones coming up next while we're talking about awkward.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
We're all disappointed that we didn't win that Green Bay game. We had visions of a lot better than that. We all did. There are things there that we can take forward.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Seems like forever ago, though I suppose it's still very familiar and all too painful for Dallas Cowboys fans after that loss to Green Bay in what was the opening round of the wild card weekend. Was it wild card weekend? It was, right? Goodness, of the NFL postseason. So that would have been mid-January. Gosh, was 1 month married at that point, and now I'm 4 months married, and it seems like a world of difference, which is good. I suppose that's good. Progress is good. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys Brain Trust now getting ready for the draft, the first round of the draft coming up on Thursday night. We'll cover it here on After Hours. And he was talking to reporters about how the Cowboys are picking 24th.
There's a very reason why we're 24th out of 32 teams draft that we get to pick a player this time. Because we were the 24th best in the NFL, according to the rules. And so we get to pick, everybody gets to pick before us up to 24.
What? What did he say? Do you think he was being sarcastic or trying to be funny and it just didn't land? We got to hear it again because I, for the life of me, can't figure out what the heck he's talking about.
There's a very reason why we're 24th out of 32 teams draft that we get to pick a player this time. Because we were the 24th best in the NFL, according to the rules. And so we get to pick, everybody gets to pick before us up to 24.
Okay, first of all, you weren't 24th best in the NFL. That's actually the opposite of what you were.
Yes. Oh. I think he was trying to say that there's so many teams picking ahead of us because we're good, we're in a good spot. And
well, no, I get that, but he didn't say anything like that.
Right. And then he started speaking more and said the exact opposite, meaning
you're just assuming that he was making sense. You're assuming that he was trying to make a valid point about the fact that the Cowboys weren't as bad as what people would like to pile on now, that's why they're drafting 24th. But
yeah, I'm assuming that's what he meant. Right.
Right. I mean, because that's what most people would say, but that's not at all what he said. And what he said makes zero sense. Like, what's the point of even saying that? Duh. Of course you're picking 24th according to NFL rules. And of course there are 20, well, he says 24, but 23 other teams picking ahead of you. Duh. What?
Get me some oxygen.
I don't understand. That's why I'm trying to assume that he was being funny. It was a poor attempt at sarcasm or humor or something. Weird. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!